KALW.
Culturally, we're one of the groups of people that stigmatize mental health.
Language barriers are among the things that keep Pacific Islander communities from getting the support they need.
But when we go there, I ask them question, do you remember a song when you were a little very young? They sing the song. They cannot talk, but they sing.
Today, how grassroots groups are finding solutions to the isolation and depression that seniors experience. Then, Bay Area comedians help others find comedy relief when it comes to living with mental health issues.
It's like a spoonful of sugar, right? You can wrap up this bitter-tasting experience in something funny, and then everyone can talk about being depressed.
People supporting people. That's coming up. I'm Hannah Baba, and this is Cross Currents. One in five of California's Pacific Islanders live in the Bay Area, and we have the largest Tongan population in the state. But research shows AAPI adults seek mental health services less than any other group. It's been attributed to language barriers, lack of culturally appropriate services, and stigma around mental health. But grassroots groups are finding solutions to the isolation and depression they see impacting AAPI seniors. Reporter Lisa Ramreka brings us a series on mental health in Asian American communities. Today we'll hear part one of her series.
That's Senator Ohila Malenge. His community of Tongan and Pacific Islanders in East Palo Alto just call him Papa Senator. He's lived here for over 50 years after performing in bands all around the Pacific Islands with his ukulele and his guitar. In 2003, Papa Senta was at his local church rehearsing Christmas songs when he got caught in gang crossfire and was shot in the leg.
We were getting ready to do our choir because this is in October and we are preparing for December. And all of a sudden, you see some cars coming, yelling at it. Finally, they hear bang, 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 yeah. And I felt something. I felt like it's itching underneath my knee. So I reach down and scratch it. And I pick up my hand, it's bleeding, you know.
Papa Senta recuperated from his gunshot wound, but mentally, he was still struggling.
My brain was not keeping up on me. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to sit in the car, then driving between cars, you know. When they go to the store or something, when I hear something bang, I go underneath the bed. I hide there.
And then one day, he jumped in the car to get a cup of coffee at the 7-Eleven. When a group of kids who recognized him from home started yelling hello, he suddenly felt disoriented and scared. He got back into his car, locked the doors, and drove away. The next thing he knew, he was in Gilroy, about an hour's drive down the 101, calling his wife from a payphone to say that he didn't know where he was or how he gotten there.
It was very, very scary. I was almost thinking my life is not worth living. No more, because my mind is keeping up with me.
A doctor later explained that he'd experienced severe PTSD. Papa Senta says the incident left him a little lost. Mental health issues aren't often discussed in his community.
Mental health in the island is, what do you call it? The stigma of it is ugly. It's ugly.
He says even though today in the U.S., the general public is more open to discussion about mental health.
It's a cursing tongue. So if a family have that, oh, the people will call them, oh, these are crazy people. You know, these are mental ill people. Oh, so I didn't want it to go through that.
Papa Santa's wife, Apolonia Uhila, goes by the nickname Mama D. She's a longtime health advocate, and she recognized that Papa Center needed help.
We were worried about the wound, the shock, but the mental health is not dealt with.
She called up San Mateo County's Behavioral Health Services to ask for mental health support for Papa Center.
To my surprise, they gave me an 800 number to call. That really made me mad right there. I expect services right now.
And this was a learning experience for her. Mama D is an experienced community leader and former commissioner on aging for San Mateo County. Samoan by birth, she's advised the county on culturally appropriate solutions to health issues. But it wasn't until her husband was shot and experienced PTSD that she really recognized the need for mental health services for Pacific Islanders in the US.
Let's be very honest. There is a stigma that is not going away anytime sooner, and that the big gray cloud overhead with anybody and everybody and every community, it's a taboo to talk about mental health.
So Mama D began a search for more local support. With her help, Papa Center was offered weekly counseling and medication from East Palo Alto's mental health services, known locally as the third floor, as that is where the team is located in the behavioral health building. But something no doctor prescribed, something close to his culture, also helped him recover. Here's their daughter, Shana Uhule Moelenga.
What Ida decided to do as part of his platform with the doctors was to start singing old songs, traditional songs, and folkloric songs, and Kihiva Kakala is what we call it. They created a band called the Third Floor Band, and they went around and sang to every patient, every hospital, every event that they could go and sing these songs at. And they were all Polynesian elders and people that just miss home, had these things that were happening, couldn't put their finger on it, and now realize that this lullaby they sang from the very beginning was the one thing leading them out.
Papa Center says many of the seniors he sees are over 80 and at a point when they don't really talk anymore.
But when we go there, I ask them question, do you remember a song when you were a little, when you were young? They sing the song. They cannot talk, but they sing.
While this also helped to improve Papa Center's mental health, Shana says her mom was still frustrated by the lack of culturally appropriate activity.
One of the things that was challenging was that you're going to these appointments and Mama D would come home and say, there isn't a single Latino person in there. There isn't a single Pacific Islander person there. There isn't even a single Pacific African American. And then these posters and then the things that they're giving us haven't even been translated appropriately to make people feel comfortable, on top of this being already a heavy stigma.
So Mama D began to volunteer and work with the mental health department on getting contracts, including one with East Palo Alto's Office of Equity and Diversity for Mental Health. The aim is to provide culturally sensitive, language-appropriate support at grassroots level.
So people that come to her, they ask for services, she does a survey and she plugs them into all of the necessary outlets that are provided through the mental health and their library of sources, resources, and then on top of that, they add in the services that she feels is necessary.
Mama D is co-founder with Papa Center of Alamatangi Polynesian Voices in East Palo Alto. It was set up in the late 1990s to include community views in local policymaking. She also lobbied the county to set up a wellness center in 2009, where Pacific Islander seniors and others can go to sing, share, potluck meals and stories. Programs like this are just one solution to tackling loneliness, which San Mateo County declared a health emergency in February 2024. It was the first in the nation to do so. This follows an advisory from the US Surgeon General Vivek Murthy in May 2023 that urged governments to prioritize strategies which promote social connection to avoid increased risk of medical conditions such as heart disease, stroke, and depression.
San Mateo County has become the first county in America to recognize loneliness as a public health emergency.
We have 45% of the people who find themselves being lonely and that suffer from loneliness.
Supervisor David Canepa introduced the resolution he hopes will spur further action.
Leafa Tomoipo runs the nonprofit health and education organization Taloma for Tongans. She says isolation and poor mental health were a problem even before COVID required people to isolate. It's why she and her volunteers visit churches attended by Pacific Islanders.
But we talk a lot about behavior, our mental health, the things that affect us, the things that we need, where we need to go to get the help that we need. We try to destigmatize mental illness because we're culturally one of the groups of people that stigmatize mental health. And I think it's because of this lack of education and our inability to understand what it is.
In 2018, Taloma for Tongans created a program to address senior isolation. It's called Natovai, named after a flower that becomes more fragrant as it blooms and ages. Before the pandemic, participants in the program would get together in person to share a meal, learn about mental wellness, dance, do crafts, and play games. Lockdown put a stop to these events, so Taloma moved the meetup online to keep social interaction going. It's 10 o'clock on a Wednesday morning in March, and a dozen Pacific Islander seniors in and around East Palo Alto are gathered in a Zoom room for their regular community chat and exercise class. The session is also broadcast on Radio Tonga and streamed via Facebook Live, attracting listeners and viewers beyond the Bay Area, from Seattle to Salt Lake City, as well as in Tonga itself. The aim is to connect with isolated seniors through conversations about US and Tongan culture, share advice on mental health and wellness, and guide them through gentle chair exercise.
And we're going to start by tapping the toes. So try and have a chair that's comfortable. Try and sit up straight. Bring your shoulders back.
The program gives seniors, with their children or grandchildren out of the house all day, a social connection they wouldn't otherwise have. On the day I join, the group begins to chat about cooking and culture. Regular Fehi Hassan tells me,
"This is good for me to have something special, to be there and look at you guys. I thanks for you doing all this. Because the week, I don't know what I'm going to do, so I have to go down to my church to meal break. And I know Wednesday, we have a Zoom."
And Leafa says that familiarity and friendship is what helps foster mental wellness among seniors.
You know, you cry with them, you share with them, but you come out and you feel lighter because a burden has been moved from you.
So people like Leafa and Mama D are creating effective solutions to the issue of mental health among Pacific Islander seniors. But they don't know the extent of the problem. There just isn't good data. According to latest research, 42% of Native Hawaiian or Pacific Islander adults have trouble accessing mental health services. But that data is still aggregated. The Regional Pacific Islander Task Force was set up in 2015 to address the lack of data and reporting on Pacific Islander population health and health disparities in different health departments across the Bay Area. California's Mental Health Services Act provides dedicated funding to transform behavioral health systems. San Mateo County received an annual average of $41.2 million for 5 years through fiscal year 2022 to 23. But only 5% of this is budgeted for new approaches and community-driven best practices, the kind of work Mama D and Leafa do. For Leafa Tamope, director of Toloma for Tonkans, that's not nearly enough.
I always believe that the work that we do is an extension of what the county should do for its people. And they can't do it, but we can. So I want to see little groups like ours, like Mama D's, be funded, not just once in a while, but become regular.
She wants to see homegrown solutions like Papa Center playing ukulele with his granddaughter and singing familiar songs to fellow seniors as a common, well-funded part of mental health services.
And those are the people that brought us here. Those are the people who braved the separation, who braved the inability to understand the language, who found the food very strange. These are the people that sacrificed for us.
And she says these elders should not be neglected. In East Palo Alto, this is Lisa Ramraker for Cross Currents.
Lisa reported this story while participating in the USC Annenberg Center for Health Journalism's California Impact Fund. If you or someone you know is experiencing mental distress, call or text 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Comedians poke fun at themselves and find humor in bleak moments. A couple of Bay Area comics have found humor in living with mental health challenges. Christy Ono and Wonder Dave host Mental Health Comedy Hour. It features Bay Area comedians who tell jokes about their experiences with anxiety, addiction, bipolar disorder, and other challenges. The show's drawn big names like Margaret Cho. KALW's Janae Darden spoke with Christy and Wonder Dave back in 2022, right at the return to live in-person shows after the pandemic.
The Mental Health Comedy Hour, how did that come about?
Christy and I actually had worked on some other projects together. One of them was called Nerd Rage, The Great Debates, which is a podcast that still happens. A bunch of people get together and fight about nerdy stuff. And we liked working together.
That's awesome.
And we also had done stand-up together, and both of us had some material about mental health that was sometimes well-received by audiences, and sometimes you could tell audiences were not prepared for such discussions and didn't want to have them. Which, you know what? Maybe that's on us. Maybe not everyone wants to talk about anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation, and bipolar disorder. Maybe that's not everyone's cup of tea for jokes.
Maybe.
So we thought, how about we just do a show where we warn you in advance that that's what we're talking about? Right? I was just like, hey, because some people obviously liked it a lot and wanted to talk about it. So, you know, just put it on the label and go with it. So that's what we did.
Do you ever feel like, you know, are you ever concerned about crossing the line? Or are the other comedians ever concerned about crossing the line?
No, I just see a line and walk right over it. No.
You're like, what is a boundary?
No, I mean, yeah, sometimes, I guess. I mean, but that's part of, like, you know, when you're workshopping your jokes at open mics or sometimes at shows, you kind of got to figure out, like, what words people are comfortable with and what words work for what and how to say, like, because you want to get the point across in a way that's, like, accessible and not offensive, right? Like, that's, you know, that's right. The goal. Like, and funny, that's the important, like, the most important, perhaps, one would say in comedy, it's being funny. So I am sure I have crossed many lines in my lifetime and then had to reel myself back and be like, all right, so this isn't what people want, you know.
Christy, you're going to say something?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like no topic is unapproachable if you do it thoughtfully and like with care and consideration. Also using I statements, you know, like I'm speaking from my personal experience. I'm not talking about every person with depression or every person with anxiety. And I think that it's important to talk about these things. And I think it's going to be funny because I think it's absurd, kind of like where my depression and anxiety takes me. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, it's kind of like a spoonful of sugar, right? You can wrap up this like kind of bitter chasing experience in something funny, and then everyone can talk about being depressed and like sometimes wanting to kill yourself. But those are thoughts that you should be sharing and should be comfortable sharing with people, mm-hmm. and that we should be comfortable receiving, because we don't want anyone to kill themselves, you know? That's how we find out. And then we talk to our friends about it.
So that's interesting you bring that up, because has this show like helped people or saved people, or, you know, have you heard back from people in the audience? Like maybe they were suicidal.
I really wish we could be the heroes that I want this show to be. But we do interview therapists and mental health professionals, and they provide resources. And I've been able to give those resources to people who have reached out either after the show or around, you know, knowing that I'm part of this mental health comedy hour. Mm-hmm. And that feels like it helps. I don't know what the success rate of the people who got the resources and were able to connect with somebody, but just knowing that it's out there, I hope is encouraging for people to find the support that they need.
A couple of people have, we interview different mental health professionals. A lot of them are therapists. That was kind of our initial concept for the show. But a couple of our therapists have been approached by audience members after shows, and they became their clients. So, hey, some people actually got into therapy. So that happened, at least.
Did you get a cut?
No booking fee.
Should get a finder's fee.
Okay. Right, exactly.
Or like a cookie, like a baked good.
Oh, that's even better. Mm-hmm. Ooh, or both. How did you feel as far as mentally during the pandemic? Did you feel like because you've had so many experiences with mental health issues, like you had your wellness tools, your mental health tools, you know, together, and you I could push through this? Or were you or was your brain because my brain did both. My brain was like, we got this. We've been through this. And then some days my brain was like, no, we ain't got this.
I feel like because I'd done some work around my own mental health, I was a little more able to recognize what was going on emotionally. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much better prepared that made me, I guess. Because I still was I'm feeling anxious. And it wasn't I suddenly wasn't feeling anxious because I was aware of it. But at least I knew what it was, I guess, you know. And knowing is half the battle.
Yes, it is.
So I guess, yeah, I had half the battle done. It helped a bit to just sort of be already aware of the feelings that you'd experienced and already maybe have some coping mechanisms in place.
What about you, Christy?
Yeah, I feel like I was maybe prepared a little bit more than most because I had such explicit practice of these are my tools. These are my tools when I feel these things. And I knew to, you know, take things one day at a time. And you mentioned that you experienced both. And I definitely experienced both, feeling like I can get through this. I know what this is. I've been here. And at the same time, I've never been here before. What is it? And part of understanding that it's going to be both and it's going to go back and forth was also something I've only gotten from all of the mental health mm-hmm. therapy and practices that I've had. And I think that, I experienced people that I knew who had never had maybe a depressive episode or anxious episode. Mm-hmm. And, you know, without all of the distractions of this kind of go-go-go life, people were sitting with their feelings for the first time. And I was at least ahead of the game for that. I knew that these were kind of playing underneath everything in my life. And yeah, that is the half knowing is half the battle. But it's also nice to be kind of a person who can help others and be like, oh, this is anxiety. You can do this, or you can just keep talking to us. And that is something that happened a couple of times.
Those were comedians Christy Ono and Wonder Dave speaking with KLW's Janae Darden in 2022. That interview was co-produced by Porfirio Rangel. The Mental Health Comedy Hour returns tonight at Strut in San Francisco, and it is free. Learn more at klw.org. Tune in tomorrow morning at 11. Early Intervention is helping Chinese-American elders and their families address mental health issues.
When the people in our support group don't afraid to talk about your illness, you'll get well.
It's part two of our focus on AAPI seniors and mental health, tomorrow morning at 11. Today's Cross Currents team includes Sandra Halliday, Alistair Boone, James Rowlands, Gunnady Joe Johnson, Mary Catherine O'Connor, Molly Blair Salier, Shirin Adil, Lisa Morehouse, Marissa Ortega Welch, Angela Johnston, and Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.